a little bit this morning, but at the crucifixion, Matthew chapter 27. We're going to just read a few verses to start with, and we're going to come back to it. Matthew chapter 27. If you're able to stand, I invite you to stand as we read God's word. Matthew chapter 27. We'll begin and read verse 27 through 31. Chapter 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered to him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they platted the crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, pray now, Lord, we love to cut up. We love to have fun. But Lord, I pray now, Lord, we would understand. It's, Lord, it's time to ask you to speak to our hearts. And Lord, I know that you're speaking. Lord, I pray you'd help us to listen. Lord, I pray you'd help us to put the affairs that lie ahead of us today out of our minds, and what's happened this morning, help us put it out of our minds, and just to stop for a few moments this morning and look into your word and allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us. Lord God, I do pray, if you would, give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Lord, I pray that word might go forth and have free course. Lord, I pray my prosper and end for unto you to send it. And Lord, I pray thy will be done. Lord, we ask you bless this day. Now we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You're going to have a seat. I guess my goal this morning simply is this, to remind us that our salvation was free, but it cost our Savior a great price. And for us that are saved, let us never forget what our salvation cost our Savior. And if you're here today and you're not yet saved, I want you to know how much that God loves you and God wants to save you. So I was talking to some friends this morning back here. They asked me, we was kidding around if I was a long preacher or not. And I said I always prepare a half hour sermon, and if I stutter a lot, it's 45 minutes. If I don't stutter, it's 18 minutes. So we anywhere from 18 to 45 minutes be our goal. It's good to have some friends I haven't seen in years with Bill and D. Garrett. They're in the back. I've known them for. I bought a whole lot of cars from them, some good ones, some bad ones. I bought a lot of cars from them over the years. And Bill, one time, he gave some advice. I don't know if he ever remembers, but I was trading cars, and I was way upside down. I just went out the car. I didn't care. He said, "Rick," he said, "you can't borrow your way out of debt, son." I thought, hmm. And the more I thought about that, that was a whole lot of wisdom there. So Bill, thank you for that advice. I could not borrow my way out. If I listened to him the first time I heard that, I've been a whole lot better off. But it's good to have them up from Florida this morning. Matthew chapter 27. We're looking this morning a little bit about the Roman number one, the cruelty our Savior suffered. The cruelty he suffered there in verse 27. Then soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the common hall and gathered to him a band of soldiers. They took him there, and they stripped him and put him on a scarlet robe. And when they planted a crown of thorns, they put it on upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him. They took there and they mocked him. I looked up in the books, and after all been through, it was a custom for the Roman soldiers. Before the crucifixion, they could take the prisoner if they wanted to back to what's called a common hall, and there they said, 50 men would be in the common hall, and the only rule was he had to come out alive. The only rule was the prisoner had to be alive to go to the crucifixion. So Christ has been tried, and he's been mocked, and he's been scourged, and all these things. And then they said one of the favorite forms that they would take, because they could do it with the hard part of their hand here, and they would buffet them, the people like that. They smote him. I mean, they continually hit him. After all Christ had been through at this point, they took him to the common, and those 50 Roman hardened soldiers, they took our Savior and they hit him over and over and over and over again. Folks, our salvation was free to us, but our salvation cost our Savior a lot. And then this morning, if we're saved, I want us to understand how much that God loves us and how much God cares and what He's gone through just for us. If you're today and you're not saved, I want you to know that God loves you, and I want you to see what God's done for you. So we see number one there in this verse, the cruelty suffered. And then the next section, look at verse 32. And they came out. They found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of skull, they gave him vinegar to drink that was supposed to be to help deaden the pain. And when he tasted thereof, he wouldn't drink. The reason he didn't drink is he wanted to feel the full effects. It said in verse 35, they crucified him. You know, all the gospel says, you know, the gospels don't give a whole lot of account of the crucifixion. But if you go back in history, I would look up this week, and they would take they'd have a post in the ground. They have a post in the ground, and they take the one being crucified. They would lay a beam across, and they would lay him on the beam, and they would take and they put the nails in his hands. And then they would take that beam over, and they put up on the cross, and they would nail it there on the beam of the cross, and they would nail it there, and he would hang there. And then they would take a board and put it right under his feet, and they'd take his feet, and they would nail the nail into his feet, and then they mocked him. Our Savior, He loved us. Our salvation was free to us, but it cost our Savior. Over and over again, I'm going to say that same thing this morning. I want us to know how thankful we ought to be. Because sometimes we enjoy our freedom so much that we forget what it costs. Just as in American history, we forget what those have gone before have done to secure our freedom. And I'm afraid today in churches now that we have forgot what our salvation cost our Savior. So we see that the cruelty of the soldiers, we see the cruelty of the crucifixion. And then look on down to verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, "Thou hast destroyed the temple and buildest it in 3 days thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down." So we see the group mocked him. Then look at verse 41. Likewise, also the chief priests mocked him. We see the priests mocked him. And then even those that was being crucified with him in verse 44, they mocked him as well. You know, our salvation, it was the cruelty of our Savior suffered, the cruelty of the crucifixion, the cruelty of the cross. You know, as I look at this week, I'll be able to think, Lord, how much you must love Wayne Haddix. All that you came and went through for Wayne Haddix. Lord, how much you must love Miss Peters. Lord, all that you went through, all that you suffered there, the crucifixion, the soldiers buffeting, and all those things. And how much he must have loved Miss Peters. But he loves us all the same. When Christ came, as it says in Luke 19, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. When Christ left heaven, think what he left to come to. He left streets of gold to walk on streets of dirt. He left a place where he was worshipped and adored to come to a place where he'd be rejected and scorned and mocked. To come to a place where he'd be put on the people that he created, they would put him on a tree. And they would nail him to the cross. And he would die there for those that abused him and accused him. He left a place where there was no sin to come to a place that was full of wickedness and full of sin. He came knowing what he would one day face. He knew the cruelty that he would face. He knew the heartache that he would face. His own brothers and sisters didn't get saved until after the resurrection. He was not understood. A man of sorrows and rejected. The book of Isaiah said his vision was so marred that he was not recognizable. By the time he got the cross and they hung him there, It says in the book of Isaiah that he was unrecognizable, beaten and bruised and stripped. And whipped and stripped so badly, they would not have known him. And then as he hung on the cross there, he looked down and saw his mom. His mom watching. He cared about his mom so much. He said, "John, my mother, you take care of my mom." He chose to not take the vinegar that would have deadened the pain. He chose to take the full effects of our sin. He suffered much cruelty. Our salvation was free to us, but our salvation was not free. Because of all that Christ did for us, we're able to have salvation. And then onto the main point. Point number one, we saw the cruelty of the soldiers. We saw the cruelty of the crucifixion. We saw the cruelty of the crowd. And lastly, the cause. Why did Christ do all that? If you looked in the mirror, you saw the cause. This morning, I'm looking at you, and I see the cause. You're looking at me, and you see the cause. You see, number one, we see with our condition. Turn, if you would, to Romans 3:10. The cause. Why did he do all that? Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. And verse 23, as it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, my friend, what the Bible tells me, that I've sinned. For all have sinned, that I've disobeyed God's law. But my Bible says that I've sinned. It says that you sin as well. So number one, we see that we're all sinners. Now look over at Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because I've sinned, I deserve to die. And death, there's eternal separation from God. Because I've sinned, I deserve to die and go to a place called hell. Because Brother Sutherland has sinned, he deserves to die and go to a place called hell." You say, but preacher, I'm not that bad a person. Turn over, if you would, to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. No matter how good we think we are, look at Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Says this: "Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing the Holy Ghost." But yeah, I've sinned. I deserve to die and go to a place called hell. And there is no way I can work out my own salvation. There's nothing I can do. So we're all sinners. We're judged and condemned. Then look at Mark 10:45. We'll look at the cause now. Mark 10:45. I love the sound of pages turning. Romans chapter 10 and verse 45. We're going to read a few verses. Romans 10:45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." And to give his life a ransom for many. Now turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy 1:15. God speaks through his word. 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Then back to Isaiah 53:15. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Our condition is this, that we're lost sinners going to a place called hell. Our condition is this. I think Team Boys here, Daniel, can be real quick, Daniel, real please. He looks all nice in a shirt and tie today. Here's Daniel, a good kid. Yep. Amen. He's a good kid. At least, and don't ask his mom and dad. But he's a good kid. He comes to church every Easter, every service. He comes to during the week and helps cut grass and do odds and ends around the church. And, you know, he does that, and he goes to visitation. He comes to our Christian school. But you know what? He's a sinner. Yep. See, Rebecca, he's a good guy. He is a good guy. For all have sinned. All have sinned. Even Daniel has sinned. Daniel has come short of the glory of God. Because Daniel has sinned, the Bible says Daniel deserves eternal separation from God. And that's hell. In our lives, because he's sinned, he deserves to go to hell. And that's the reason, that's the cause of Christ coming. And he left heaven to come to earth. And he, you know, and all the cruelty he suffered on the cross of Calvary wasn't one reason, for Daniel.
Yeah, amen.
For us. Because there's no way that Daniel could earn his way to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness, which he can do. He can do all he can come to church. He can read his Bible. He can give the offering. He can support missions. He can be a soul winner. He can do all these things and still die and go to a place called hell.
Right.
He can be a great moral person and die and go to hell. I tell you, some of the most honest people that I know are lost people. Man, they got good morals. They got good, you know, and they're honest and they're hardworking and they're great people. But they can't understand that, yes, they're a good person, but they've still sinned. And we measure ourselves by ourselves. We say, well, down our mission down in Cincinnati. I'll be there here in a couple hours. We preach every Sunday afternoon to mission. And the people coming in there, and man, they're drug addicts. They come in, they go to the bathroom, and they just shoot heroin in the bathroom sometime. And they're what we call bad people. But out here in Goshen, we're pretty good people. I mean, everybody works. Everybody works hard. We pay our bills. We do all these things. You know what? We deserve hell. As much as that guy came another day and shot up a heroin in the bathroom,
Yeah. We
deserve a hell as much as he does. Because God says, for all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. And that word, all, encompasses all. But Isaiah says that we've all gone astray. And Daniel is a good kid, but he deserves hell as much as the guy came in the admission the other day when we went back here and shot up with heroin. They both deserve hell. And when Christ came and died, he died for the good people. He died for the people that we call bad people. He died for all men, that all men might get saved. But you know what? I find it's harder, it's easier to convince people our mission that they're sinners. They know it. I mean, the drunks, the addicts, the prostitutes, they know they're sinners. Do I need to convince them? It's folks out here, folks in the areas that are what we call more affluent, that we don't want to admit we're sinners. We have our goodness. We come to church and we put our Christian face on and we pretend. We come to church. There's a lot of church members going to hell if they never accepted Christ as their Savior. It's not church membership that saves us. It's not the baptistry that saves us. It's putting our faith and trust in what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. That's what saves us. To turn it to you in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Second Corinthians 5:21. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in us. He became sin for us. All of Daniel's sin he had. All Daniel's sin. For the wages of sin is death. Christ came and died on the cross. Christ was sinless. He had no sin. Who knew no sin? Christ, he came and he lived a perfect life. He never sinned, never a bad thought, never a bad word, never anything bad, never listened to anything bad. He was the sinless Son of God. And when he hung there on the cross, after all the cruelty that man could give him, he hung there. It's finished. It's finished. He finished what he came to do, the work of salvation for man. Because when with all of Daniel's sin, perhaps, can you stand up real quick? Because all of Daniel's sin, when Christ went on the cross of Calvary, all of our sin was put on his shoulders. When that happened, the world, it became darkened. God the Father turned away. God's holy. God can't look on sin. Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew why. He wants to stop and think about it. Because all of our sin was now on the Savior. And Christ died. The wages of sin is death. Christ died. For a broken moment in time, whenever the Father turned away, what torment that must have been. Christ, what cruelty he suffered for guys like Daniel, for guys like the addicts and all the people that we call the bad people, that's not any worse than we are because we're all sinners saved by the grace of God. Thank the Lord we're saved. But when Christ died, he didn't die for his own sin. He had no sin. Those soldiers did not kill him. It says he dismissed his spirit. He said, it is finished. He dismissed his spirit. Sin was paid for. Then, turn you over to John 3:18. John 3:18. Here's why people today go to hell. John 3:18. Let's read verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not sin the world, condemned the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, a person can do all the righteous works they want to. With Daniel can come to church every Sunday. He can give an offering. He can stand and lead in prayer. He might even give a Sunday school lesson and do all those things. If he's not believing on him, he's going to hell. Why? He has not believed on him. Christ paid the price, not by works of righteousness which we can do. So when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he died and he paid for all of our sins. Christians, that should excite us to stop and think how much God loves me. You know, the song, and I know I can't sing, but the song, sometimes I think we get too old for Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We get too old sometimes to sing those songs. We forget that God loves us. We enjoy our salvation, but we forget what our salvation cost. If I really understood the truth of God's word, how can I claim to be saved and lived ungodly? If I knew the cruelty let's say that Daniel is saved, and he got saved, but yet he still, it's no big deal. He doesn't realize what it cost the Savior. In our lives today, Christian, stop and think today how much our salvation cost. It cost me nothing. But think what it cost our Savior. The cruelties of the soldier, the cruelties of the crowd, the cruelty of the crucifixion. It was all for us. When he died, he paid for our sins. Now, I can look back years later, I look back at the cross and say, Lord, I believe what you did for me. Lord, I want to accept you as my personal Savior. Well, I'm going to live for you. And I can get saved because of what he did. Not by works of righteousness, which I could do. I mean, I was since I was 12 years old. And I was a good kid in the youth department. I mean, I think I was a good kid in the youth department. You know, I always come to church. I had my Bible. I carried my Bible to school. I hand out tracts to school. You know, and I was a good kid. Then when I was 15, I realized that I never got saved. Had I died before I was 15, being a church member, being baptized, carrying my Bible to school, having tracts in my pocket, handing the tracts out, I'd went to hell. It's not my works that saves me. It's what Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Maddox. You can have a seat. So we have all of the cruelties, and we have the cause. Look at Book of Revelation 1:5. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And I'll pray and we'll be done. In Jesus Christ, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I'm thankful today that I'm saved. I'm not saved by living a good life. I'm not saved by giving money in the offering. I'm not saved by going down every week and preaching down at the mission down in Cincinnati. I'm not saved by being a good husband or a good father or grandfather. I'm not saved by the best I can do, said no, because Isaiah, is as filthy rags. The very best I can do is as filthy rags. I'm saved because one day, as a 15-year-old boy, I realized I was a sinner and I was going to hell. I understood what Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary, how he paid for my sin, and I made a choice that day to turn from sin to God and accept him as my Savior. And that day I got saved. I'm going to heaven today, not because of me, because of him. It cost me nothing to go to heaven. It cost my Savior so much. Folks, if you're saved, stop and be thankful for our salvation. Say it like we mean it sometimes. Because if I really understood what it really cost my Savior, could I say it without a broken heart? If you're today and you're not saved, I encourage you. God loves you so very much. He loves you so much. He suffered all the cruelties he suffered just for you because he loves you and wants you to get saved. Christian, if you're today and you're wandering away from God, you're saved, but you've kind of begin to wander away, what marvelous love he has for us. Today you should be like a prodigal son. Realize where you're at. Turn around and go home to the Father. I promise you that Father that loved you in salvation, that Father's there, he's watching. Look in Luke 15, the Father there, he was watching and longing for a son to come back home. If you're today and you're wandering from God, you've gone far, okay, how far away you've gone from God, I guarantee you, it's his heart's desire, his compassion, his heart's desire is for you to say, Lord, I'm coming home today. Lord, I know I'm saved, but Lord, I'm not right. How can we not serve him, the one who gave us so much? How can we not love him because he first loved us? If you're dead and you're not saved, would you get saved today? If you are saved, let's be grateful for our salvation.